This is a podcast from the AHRC ICT Methods Network at www.methodsnetwork.ac.uk.
In search of a bad reference corpus, which is an unusual sort of title, seems to have disappeared. Oh, there we are. Unusual thing to be looking for. The reason is because when we're doing these contrastive pieces of study, in my case today, I'm examining the relationship between a text, a single text, which may or may not be complete, as a BNC text, so it almost certainly won't be complete, but anyway, a text, a single text, and a large collection of texts of some kind, in order to see if we can extract the keywords from it. Another possibility is to contrast a corpus, a mini corpus of some sort, with another corpus, or with a larger corpus, to try to find the keywords of a corpus of texts. But as I say, my endeavour today, and this is kind of a little piece of research in progress, it's a piece of research which I'm presenting today, which is in progress. In fact, it was still in progress yesterday at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. that's what I'm going to be doing. So what I'm looking for is a bad reference corpus, because obviously what we really want is a good reference corpus, but it's by looking for a bad one that we might be able to outline the place where a bad one and a good one begin to shade away from each other, or into each other, whichever the right word is. Now, a starting point for this could be this is my research question. So what I've got this problem with PowerPoint. With PowerPoint, you never know what's going to come next unless you can remember, and I can't remember, even though I was working on it yesterday. With an overhead projector, you can always see, but anyway, there we're going to go on as we hope for the best. So what makes for a good reference corpus is really what we're trying to find out. A starting point when one is comparing corpora is a formula, this formula presented by Tony Berber, which he claims to have identified through studies of comparisons of corpora. And basically, this formula ends up by predicting that a good size for a reference corpus is about 5 times bigger than the corpus you're looking at. You're looking at corpus A, you want to try to find out some characteristics of corpus A, you need a corpus B, which is a reference corpus, which is probably about 5 times bigger. And that's the formula he gives. So this is only a starting point, because in my own research, what I'm doing is not comparing corpora, but comparing a text with a corpus. So what am I trying to do now? That was for comparing two corpora, and I'm interested in comparing a text with a reference corpus. So I chose a series of source texts at random from the BNC, and I chose reference corpora. I chose 22 different sizes, so we've got these different sizes of subsections of the British National Corpus, disregarding genre and spoken, written, or anything else, but just simply 10 randomly selected, 15 randomly selected, and so on up to 4,000 randomly selected, which is nearly the whole lot. There's 4,000, I think, and 54 texts in it altogether. So we've got a kind of what you might think of as at least not an equally divided, but somewhat similar to a logarithmically scaled set here, going up from pretty small. And I thought to myself at the beginning when I started doing this, I thought, well, 10 texts, so compare my text with 10 texts, it's going to give me rubbish results. So that'll be the answer. Probably my crap corpus, reference corpus, my bad reference corpus that I'm looking for will come up with the 10. Now, you have to see whether that was so. And I kind of thought to myself, well, the 4,000, that's going to be good, because I'm comparing my tiny little thing against a great huge mixed bag of them. And therefore, by comparing my one thing with this large and varied collection, I ought to be able to find out some of the characteristics of the thing. So my prediction was this will increase in quality as the size gets bigger, despite what Tony Berber had claimed, that 5 times bigger was somehow better. The settings I used in Wordsmith were standard settings. I set the maximum number of keywords to a rather large number. I didn't get anything like that number anyway. 500, which I think was my standard setting, would have done perfectly well. I set it to not give me any negative keywords, which are keywords which occur less frequently than one would predict. I set the p-value to the normal a standard default p-value, which is quite a stringent one, really. And I used the ordinary log likelihood formula. I computed the keywords for each source text using these two different reference corpora. And I saved the text, saved the results as text, which, using this procedure here, saved as plain text, which then went into WordList, and I then managed to create a word list with them, and so built up a I used the detail consistency feature in WordList to be able to compare my 22 texts, if you follow what I mean. So there's a screenshot of just the very top part of it. So a number, the number one there, this hash symbol, means a number. So in one of these corpora, in fact the small one, with only 10 keywords, which you can see in the first red number 269 there, then that number somehow ended up being significant in this particular text. Now, this is work in progress. I didn't promise any more than that, really, but it's... The two texts that I've analysed, only two texts using this technique, were one which was a sort of text taken from a book about successful leaders of commerce, taken from the BNC. It's text A6L, and it tells you what a marvellous bloke certain leaders of commerce are and how they got going and what they, how much profit they made and how their shares did well and that sort of thing. So it's kind of book telling you how to get into business if that's what you want to do. And so we go on up like this. And this is how I worked. Okay. And then we fed these, the output of the, I fed the output from the detailed consistency list into Word. I needed to replace those numbers that you saw in red just now with, if there were zeros, with a space, and otherwise just with a one, and put them into Excel, so that I got something like that little shot of it. I don't know if that's clear. Is it clear so far what I'm doing? Okay, and then I use certain procedures here to calculate how many, well, we can see texts in the reference corpus. We've got 10 texts in one place, then we've got 15, 20, 25, 30 going along to the right, and then we've got the number of keywords detected in each form of the corpus with the same text in this case, and then I calculated something which I called popular keywords, and that would be the keywords which were identified by the majority of the analyses. I've got 22 analyses. It seemed to me that the only sensible way of determining what was a good keyword was to say which are the keywords which most of these analyses agree on, not outliers of some sort, but which are the, because if I read the text for myself, I'm going to get human keywords which may or may not correspond. I don't have any reason, theoretical or otherwise, to suppose that they should correspond with machine identified keywords. It seemed to me that it wouldn't be right for me to read the text myself and say these are my keywords and they should bloody well include my words and not include their words. This is a machine procedure for generating keywords, so I had to take a kind of majority vote on this and say which are the popular keywords in this case and calculate a kind of precision value by looking to see, as you can see by the formula that's illuminated there, where the number 116 was computed for the reference corpus with 15 texts in it. Basically, what I'm looking at in the Excel spreadsheet is to say if there are so many that get at least 20 votes, 20 out of 22 votes, then, you know, add something to it. And that's, so we've got a score of 116 so-called popular keywords for the one in column D, which has 15 texts associated with it. and calculate the precision accordingly. And you can see the precision percentages just below. So precision is, according to Michael Oakes, the proportion of retrieved items that are in fact relevant. So the number of relevant items divided by the total number you got. And that's a calculation of precision which belongs with recall. It's two central procedures that one uses for this sort of work. Okay, so text A6L, which is a book profile of leaders of commerce with 44,000 words to it. Sorry, John, but that's what I'm going to call them for the moment. Comes out like this. So that's the graph I get displayed, and it looks as if the one at the left has got a lower precision, right? And the one at the right perhaps has a higher precision, but how do we interpret that? How do I interpret that? I'm not terribly sure how to interpret it. Scale on all the graphs, I'm going to show you three or four graphs like this. The scale on each goes from 0 to 100. And it's basically, we get quite a lot of agreement between them, but we seem to get a fall off at the very beginning with only 10 texts, but we don't get a very dramatic rise. We get, if you like, a quick rise up immediately with 15 texts, but maybe that's just chance. And then we get it sort of staggering around a little bit, and it doesn't seem to keep on getting better and better. That's the picture I get first. Now, where did that blue square come from? Okay. Now, then I took another text. Now, this text is a much shorter text. It's a piece of spoken. These are selected basically. I looked at the file size to see how big they were, and I just took a large one and a small one. It happened that the large one was the business people. The second one was a piece of conversation. It's text KNG, and there's only 615 tokens in that. Now, what did I get there? Well, I got perfect precision if I operated at 0.7 and 8. I can't remember what they would correspond to, but the left-hand one, number one, is 10 million, 10 reference corpus composed of 10 texts, and what was it, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40. We're up to about 50 or 60 there, where it happens with that particular text. I happen to be getting, so to speak, perfect agreement. They get only the words that they all agree on up at this top point of the graph up there. But otherwise, we're still getting pretty good agreement all the way along the line. So I see the line wavering around, but I don't think I've actually found my bad reference corpus yet. Now I get another square. Okay. But what about a really bad reference corpus? Where's it going to come from then? Well, I thought, well, this should be bad, right? I mean, I've got a text by leaders of commerce about how well they did in setting up Marks and Spencers and stuff like that. So we'll compare that with Shakespeare. And we've got a word list that happens with this particular text of almost exactly 5,000 words in it, 5,000 types. Okay, with the Shakespeare, we get many more keywords coming out, many more than before. Before I had numbers like 150, 160, 180, that sort of number of keywords coming up. With the Shakespeare, I get a much larger number of words. I'm doing something which is completely crackpot, comparing one thing with something which I can't possibly believe could be similar. The most crackpot of all would be to compare with the text in Arabic. I didn't actually try that, but I imagine you'd get lots and lots of keywords there coming up. Every word that occurred at least three times would come up as key because it would be comparing with Arabic. It seemed to me of little point to do that, even just to confirm. I got 594 keywords. Now, I did find that some of the list, and I'll show you the list here, if you'd like to take a copy. There may be enough for one each. If not, you may have to share. So some of the words in my Shakespeare-generated list are actually not in the BNC study that I did, that I showed you just now, showed you the graph of. So there are six words there: have, sir, take, taught, thousand, and we were not in the Shakespeare list, but are in the British National Corpus comparison. But if you look at the list of words, you've got an extensive list. If you haven't got your own copy, you can just share it with somebody else behind you. You will just look down those words. The words that are in bold are the words which are common to the BNC study with the 22 reference corpora from the BNC that I've just been explaining about. But look at all the other words that we get by comparison with Shakespeare. So my eye happens to be in the third column here. I see the word educated in bold, and then below that, entrepreneur and entrepreneurial and esso coming down in bold. But if you look at all the other words, well, educated, educating, education, educational, effective, employees, energy, engineer, engineering, engineers. You know, this is people saying how well they've done in setting up. Sir Monty Finiston is one of these people, setting up huge engineering companies. If I'm in search of a bad reference corpus, I don't think I've found it here. Now, that struck me as being quite interesting. I just appeal to you to look over the list, con over the list for a few seconds, and see if you can see words there which you'd say meet my criterion of being rubbish. There are words which you might say are doubtful as to in what sense they're key. There's interesting words like have and already and about and so on. But that's the difference between machine-generated and human-generated already. But the words which seem to have some content to them seem to me to fit pretty well with a reading of text A6L. So I've kind of failed. The other words, I think, look like quite good business and engineering terms. So I thought, well, let's have a look at the genre aspect of this, because we were just doing work where we were disregarding the issue of genre, and they were just randomly selected texts from the BNC. So here I selected nine sections of the BNC: commerce, medicine, prose fiction, non-academic humanities, non-academic politics, law, education, which was mentioned earlier on, spoken, broadcast, conversation. So I got four of each, spoken and written, plus written commerce, which is, after all, where the thing comes from in the first place. Now, predict the profile. What sort of profile am I going to get? You've seen my profiles already. What sort of profile am I going to get? First question, am I going to get a profile which is on average a bit higher or a bit lower than the one I got where I used a nice mixed bag, right? The mixed bag one, the profile came out at around 70% or somewhere like 70%, where that line wavered up and down. Right? What sort of height is this going to be? And is it going to be higher, as it kind of should be, with the commerce, or what's going to happen? So I used exactly the same procedures, except that there were only nine different sub-corpora being compared. Oh, I haven't got the picture. Yes, there we are. That's what I get. As of yesterday afternoon, that's what I got. So my commerce is higher than number two, which is medicine, and the number three, which is prose fiction. But the best is probably number six, which is spoken broadcast, which is better than commerce in terms of precision here. It may be that precision isn't what I should be looking for. Maybe I should be looking at something else. But my profile seems to me to be actually worse in this particular case. I've got a text which is clearly within something like business and engineering, but how I made good, how a few leading figures made good. It doesn't seem to match up with the other types of text, and the line goes all over the place. Plus, the line is only there at about the 40-50%. And then when I used the Shakespeare, I got a whole lot of, I think, good keywords. But I didn't find my really bad reference corpus. What conclusions? Well, these conclusions only have to do with very partial study of a couple of texts in relation to various reference corpora. There's a lot more work that needs to be done. It's not in comparison of corpora with each other. I seem to get better agreement with the mixed bag corpora, even the small ones. And that surprised me when I found that the 15 texts, to compare with 15 texts, gave me better results than 10. Didn't surprise me, but to find that it came out more or less the same, or if my measure is any good. Now, people in questions or something may say, well, you should be using a different measure. I'd be interested to hear. Concluding for the moment, anyway, I seem to be getting something like this. Even a small reference corpus or a palpably inappropriate one, a quite explicitly inappropriate one like Shakespeare, gives robust results. But I fail to identify any really bad reference corpora. Further research is needed. We should be looking at many more than two texts. It's not an adequate sample at all. And, of course, there's a whole aspect of Tony Berber's work which needs to be replicated too, to check that out. I think that's the end of what I have to say. Thank you.